Yes, sir. Now, what is your name, sir?
Will Griffith.
Okay, Mr. Griffith, who's going to do...
That'll be me. I have Mr.
Okay, the Honorable Ms. Woodhouse is going to conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Griffith, could you start by please restate your full name and your ABC number?
Dela Griffith, Jr., 205996.
Thank you, sir. You're coming before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the two allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified that this hearing would occur on, you were notified on January 2nd, and you signed a form. You remember signing that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, on that form, there's a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, or will you represent yourself in this hearing?
No, I'll represent myself.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look to your right, so my left, the other end of the bench, is the Honorable Lee Quinones, next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing. We also have in the room with us today, representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer, the Honorable Mr. Westby, and there you can see him now. So I need to swear the two of you in. So Mr. Griffith and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so affirm? Mr. Griffith?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Westby, thank you. So Mr. Griffith, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two, to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, what I'll do is I'll read these two allegations to you, and as I read each one, I'll need you to respond whether they're true or false. Okay, sir? So we'll start phase one. And the first allegation is you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about December 3rd, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated December 5th, 2018. Mr. Griffith, is that true or false?
It's true, ma'am.
It's true? Okay. And the other allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at Reborn Assistance Halfway House, that's at 2546 West Orangewood in Phoenix, on or about December 4th, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, and thus you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Griffith, is that true or false?
Yes, ma'am,
that's
true.
That's true? Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes.
Based on Mr. Griffith's admission, then, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his community supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded. Was that Mr. Neal?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Neal. And agreed, Dr. Wright and Mr. Quinones. And Mr. Griffith, we'll move on to phase two of your hearing, which is probably the more important phase to you. And determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us background information. So just we'll be right back to talk with you some more in just a minute. Stay on the phone.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Westby.
Mr. Griffith was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections on May 30th, 2018. He was arrested December 16th, 2018 by Arizona DPS. There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on December 24th, 2018. With an adjusted community supervision end date of July 11th, 2019, with 12 abscondes. Current conviction 2014, burglary, third degree, 6 years. He has prior convictions in 2006 for burglary, second degree, 2 counts, each for 3.5 years, and 2006, forgery, 2.5 years. This is his second term in DOC. CUIR score 2-1, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision 2009, TIS release completion 6 months. His disciplinary is moderate with drugs noted. However, after his return to DOC, he received a ticket on January 15th, 2019. Guilty major for tattooing. Other arrest, 2003, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona, juvenile detention. 2004, theft, Arizona, fine. 2004, burglary, second degree, Arizona, fine. And all other arrests since 2004 resulted in charges that were dismissed or not processed. This community risk score is G7B7.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, back to you, Mr. Griffith. We have a written summary of what occurred by without supervision. And you started out at Reborn, but then you, it looks like either you were discharged or you discharged yourself from Reborn. What, which one was it? Did you just leave or?
I left.
You left.
What happened is I went to MRC for 3 weeks, and upon getting released from MRC, I went back to the halfway house, and I was in a relationship with someone where I ended up needing to delete the contents of my phone, and I missed a day that I was supposed to report to my PO. So I called him the day after, and I said, hey, I apologize. I explained my circumstance, and I went in the next day to see him. At which point, he told me to go and enroll in Taros. So I went and enrolled in Taros. However, the appointment that I scheduled was for 2 weeks away, and he told me, hey, if you have one more, you mess up one more time, I'm going to take you back into custody. So the day before I left Reborn, which is the day before I missed my UA, I smoked weed. I have a meth addiction. I'm addicted to meth, and I was tired of doing that, and I told him I got aware of the fact that I need treatment, and I smoked weed as a deterrent to smoking meth. And on the Monday that they called me to task, and he had already previously told me, hey, if you mess up again, I'm taking you into custody. I was aware that I messed up. I went and got my stuff, my belongings. I was still working. I was making $1,500 a week, $60,000 a year, paying rent. I was ahead of my rent at Reborn. I slipped up.
Okay.
I understand that what's going on and what my problem is, and I don't know. That's true. I left Reborn myself.
Okay. And you were working at, was it Diamondback Carports?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right before I left, I switched employment to another company called Arizona Steel Construction.
Okay,
and
could you go back there if you?
Absolutely, I'm still in contact with them. They have one of my friends works there. He has all my tools. I was making $18 an hour working 4/10s, and then Friday and Saturday we would go and do side jobs with the company, and they would pay me an extra $700 for those 2 days that I would go and work.
Yeah, it sounds like great work. Okay, but you say that you have a meth addiction, and there's quite a long section here about, sounds like your parole officer was really trying to work with you.
He was, he absolutely was, and when he gave me the opportunity, or actually when Mr. Wang, the supervisor mm-hmm. to the parole office, gave me the opportunity to go and list in Taros, I took that opportunity because my appeal said I would have taken you back into custody today, but the supervisor has saved you, and I understood that, and so I went and enlisted in Taros. So I went and set up the appointment to have the consultation to make sure that I could be taken in for outpatient drug treatment, and I went and attempted to do a walk-in so I could get the screening done that day, and they told me the next available appointment was 2 weeks away, so I continued to use in my own addiction,
okay.
and I didn't take the help that I...
Okay. So, sir, now we it's indicated here that you went to MRC for 21 days.
21 days.
Now, we have heard countless people state what a good program that is. What did you think about it?
I believe that if I was to go to the MRC for the 90-day program, I loved it there. Other than the fact that where I was at, I wasn't a part of the 90-day program. I was in the sanctions building, and it's separated.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that, bring in drugs
and
right there.
Right, and don't want to be there, yeah.
I don't want to, I mean, I was there, and I programmed, and I met a counselor there who are really, things that he said resonated with me for the first time that I've heard countless other people say, that it's Justin Benjamin, he's a great guy.
Yeah, we know him. We know him. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a, great individual. Mm-hmm. And I believe if I went to the 90-day program, as opposed to spending the rest of my time here killing my number, where I could get that treatment, I think that that's going to benefit me, as opposed to leaving me in here where there's freaking drug addicts in here too.
Right.
I'm not trying to be, I mean, I'm just going to be around me no matter what. But I feel like that 90-day program would really, be really beneficial to me. So I can program and get some treatment before I go back out.
So if, and I'll just tell you right now that it's not within this board's authority to place you there. That's we're a separate agency from corrections. We're just independent people. So we don't have that as an option. If that was not an option to you, what would you do about your drug problem? What would you do?
Well, I've heard that Taros is a great place as well. And the reason that I wanted to go there is because I've heard from several other people that not only do they hold you accountable, but like I can go to task for parole. But Taros also does drug screening. They have, you're going to meetings constantly, and when sobriety is something that is something that you're focused on and something that you put all of your energy into, it's not hard. And now that I have 50 days of sobriety, and I understand I have my mind right. When I went to MRC, I was high when I went there. Mm-hmm. I got high while I was there, and I got high when I got out. I have 50 days of sobriety. I haven't had that much sobriety since the second month I was on parole. And I have a clear understanding of the changes that I need to make. And I would have no problem in lifting a Taros and getting outpatient drug treatment. Going back to work and
You seem like a smart guy, and you were certainly making enough money to be able to afford, but you could also afford to buy drugs. I mean, it's up to you what you're going to do with that. It sounds like, how do you feel now physically compared to when you were high? I mean, how do you feel?
Right now, I feel amazing.
Right.
I feel 1,000 times better.
Remember this. Remember how you feel. Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions. Anyone have a question for Mr. Griffith? Okay, so we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity, if there's anything you've thought of while you were talking, that you say, gee, I wish I would have told him that. Is there anything else to consider?
I mean, just, I don't want to sit here for 6 months, not because it's, I mean, I just did 5 years. I mean, it's not the fact that I don't want to be here, because, I mean, this is something I've done. I want to get out and make these changes. I mean, I apologize for being out of line while I was on parole. I understand that I didn't take advantage of all the opportunities I had. And I'm willing to change, and I want to be sober, and I want to make those changes. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you guys for listening.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Griffith. Mr. Griffith, the board is going to go into discussion, and we do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law, so we haven't discussed your case before right now. So all we ask is you just stay on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a minute. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The board's now in discussion. Mr. Griffith is seemingly a smart guy and has some good job prospects and good job skills. His parole officer was really working with him. He even admits that the supervisor kind of bailed him out on that last time and gave him one more chance, and where the parole officer was going to revoke him. So I just... Because of that, and because of the absconding, I'm just not seeing him as a good candidate, although I will say he did complete a prior term of community supervision for 6 months and did okay on that one. But I think his best option is going to be to stay where he is. It may not be the very best, but it may be the only options available to us. is to stay where he is and complete his term, and at the end of that, hopefully while he's in here, he's going to be thinking, getting himself a good plan together so he can have a place to go, whether it's Taros or an equally well-respected program to address his drug problem. But that's, I'll listen to any input from fellow board members. Any other comments? Okay. Mr.
I was just going to say really quick, I can see why his parole officers were so willing to work with him. He's an intelligent young man, and I think he has the capacity to turn the corner. But I agree with you.
I think he
needs to take advantage of this time.
I'm going to make a motion, and based on information and warrant 2018W3561, our conversation with Mr. Griffith, information from Mr. Westby, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Griffith was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding for 12 days, during which time his parole officer could not monitor his activity.
Second.
Agree.
Okay. Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Quinones, was it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And agreed, Dr. White and Mr. Neal. Okay. Back to you, Mr. Griffith. I hope that you'll take this seriously. I think you will. We think you're a smart guy, and you've got a lot of life ahead of you, and a good life ahead of you, but it can't be under the influence. And I hope you'll remember what you said today. You said you feel amazing, and that's the way you should feel all the time. So you've got 50 days of sobriety now. I know your preference would be to go to a treatment program now, but unfortunately that's not within our power. But you can be there and go to NA, AA as much as you can. Ask your CO3 if there's anything else that you can get involved in. With Design for Living, there might be some other programs that you can do. Keep your mind focused, make a good plan, so when you get out, you've got your housing figured out, your job, you already got that, and a couple of treatment programs available to you, so you're able to hit the ground running. And we sure wish to never see you back here in Orange again, sir. Not that we don't like you, but I hope this is your last time. And next time we see you, maybe you're putting up a carport or something for us. So, okay, sir?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And let's hang up, hopefully.